Today I have one verse. I'll probably mention some other ones. But this is Isaiah 32:2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And a verse before that, he's talking about the righteous prince and the righteous king and the princes. So it's a foretelling of the Messiah. And now he's talking about this being the hiding place from the wind and cover from the tempest and river of water in a dry place as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He uses lots of different nature covers here to talk about protection, and that's basically what he's talking about in terms of the righteous ruling of the Messiah. In the verse before, he's amplifying that here, talking about how that righteousness is going to benefit people. And it starts with as, so he's not talking about literally these things, but he's mentioning them because people had experience with them. They knew what it was like to be out in the wind and have a place to stay. They knew what it was like to be in a dry place and have water. They knew what it was like to be out in the brutal sun and have a place to be in the shade. So they had all of these senses of relief, of comfort, of peace, of safety that were being talked about Isaiah foretelling what is going to happen. And this still can be seen, if we think about it, as a foretelling of what is going to happen even in the future. As far as when Jesus comes again, there will be another set of righteousness that will come into place. So I was looking at this, and then I was looking at a whole bunch of other scriptures that talk about rock. David was especially talking about rock, both in Samuel when it was recorded historically what he was saying, and then in the Psalms when he was writing about using some of the same language. But he uses the rock in two ways. He uses the rock as a firm foundation, a strong place with a little r, and then he uses r when he starts talking about God is my rock and my salvation. So we know those verses. So we see that imagery of God as a rock throughout the scriptures, that he is that fortress, that strong place. And there's in many hymns that have that idea, that God is a rock. He's like something very solid, immovable, impenetrable, in the sense of nobody can get through to, nobody can unsettle him, nobody can make him move if he doesn't want to. So this idea of God being a very firm, persistent presence that we can count on is the imagery that is used throughout the scripture when it talks about God as a rock. So we see that, I think it's given mostly in terms of a comfort for us to understand that there's nothing that's going to break through. There's nothing that is going to come against us that he can't protect us from. So we have that knowledge that he is there. And when we think about the earth, we really can't, we think about the mountains and the great rocks where, we live. We can see mountains that are, just go back to antiquity. They're the most obvious feature in the world that has such power and such strength that it's hard to imagine it being overcome by anything. I mean, moving these mountains behind us would be, even in today's technology, we could barely touch them. So the idea of God as a rock is that same idea. When I think about that, I can picture God is like this mountain range behind us. He is so strong. He's so persistent. He's so unyielding in the sense of not being moved if he doesn't want to be. So So that's what I was thinking about today, was that God is the rock, and God is the, is in this particular verse, which is the verse that's going to be, it's the basis of the song that I'll be using. He's not only that rock, he's also the shelter. He is the, the song that he hides my soul in the cleft of the rock. So what does that mean? There's a place that's carved out of the rock where the rock is split, where he can put us in, keep us safely covered from the wind, the storm, anything that comes our way. I mean, it's hard to imagine being safer than being in a cave deep in the earth, as far as any protection from wind, storm, rain, anything like that. Never would penetrate there. So he has that cover for us. And in the same breath, he talks about the dry, thirsty land. In the song, we talk about the dry, thirsty land. And in this verse, he's talking about the river. God's that river in the dry, thirsty land. He's providing that relief for our thirst, that nourishment that we really need in order to exist. And he talks about the shadow keeping us out of the sun, keeping us away from that blazing heat. And we can look at all these things metaphorically. We can look at the river being something like the Holy Spirit that is providing us with spiritual nourishment. We can look at that shadow as being that protection against temptation when we're being beaten down by all about with all kinds of things that are going on in the world. Like this blazing sun is upon us, and there's that shadow where we can go and hide. And in some sense, it is hide. It's like get away from it. But it's also that idea, not hide. We're not hiding from God. We're going to him for protection. It's like Jethro does from time to time. If it's, something is bothering him, he runs up and gets between us or jumps up in our lap or something like that. It's a place we can go to for our protection when we're upset or when we're challenged or when we're in a hard time. So the idea of God as a rock, very prevalent, very moving for us, and not easy to understand for us who live in an area where there are mountains, especially, to look at God as a rock. So that's my thought for today. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are that rock, that solid rock that is foundation for our lives, that you can't be moved, not unless you choose to move. There's no opposition that can move you. And we thank you for that comfort and peace that, like the mountains, you don't change. You are there. You're persistent. You were there for our ancestors and our grandparents, and you'll be there for our descendants and our great-grandchildren. And we pray that they would be able to come and to that place where they are comforted, where they are hidden in your love and they're hidden in your protection. So we pray for our family, our descendants, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, especially that we've already seen, that you will move in their hearts. May their names be in your book of life. May they be destined to be with you in eternity. We pray that you would, even those who will never see, their descendants that will come generations later, that they would be blessed through this carrying on of faith. And we pray that we will influence our children, they will influence their children down through generations. And your Spirit will be with them and bless them because of that faithfulness. So these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. And then in his rightness transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my soul in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.